John, congratulations. We look forward to working with you in the days ahead and all of our combined events and otherwise. But I say amen to all that's been said today. So thank you very much. Cammy, God bless you. So at this time, our speaker for this evening is your new Oregon Superintendent, John Zuma.
I did tell Craig when Craig first asked me about being the superintendent, I said, well, under one condition, I don't have to kiss Ed Stanton on the cheek. And I think Ed said amen.
Start a new tradition.
Yes. I'm good at shaking hands.
Anyhow,
it is an honor to serve, and I am really ready to go to handheld. Are we good? We're good. Just keep going.
Move it up.
Okay.
Moving on up.
All right. How's that? Is that better?
We'll make it work.
Okay. Perfect. You know, it's an honor to serve you, and I can't guarantee that I will do everything perfectly. But I have two ears, and I'm ready to hear. If you have things that are happening in your world and you need somebody to talk to, I've got two ears. I've got two knees, and I know how to pray. I may not know how to do everything right, but I do know how to pray. And I've got two hands, and I'm not afraid to go to work, and I'm not afraid to go to war. And I've got a big heart, and I can believe God for great things within you and within your church body. Amen. And so that's my commitment for you. Is that fair? Okay. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me tonight. As I began to pray, when Pastor Ed asked if I would share the word on Monday night, I began to seek the Lord to ask him what he wants to do, because I assume many of you are like me and we have heard a lot of sermons, right? Is anybody else a sermon junkie? I mean, I like listening to preaching. I'll be listening to sermons all the time and, you know, things. And the reality is, I don't think any one of us needs another sermon, but we need an impartation from the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
And I believe that God is stirring something in here that is for each one of us. And did you do something on my iPad, James? Okay. James and I have this thing. He's trying to convince me that I need Apple everything.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen.
I am refusing as long as I can. Anyway, so my screen just did something weird. I assume that was him just trying to take over. Anyhow, but tonight I have a word I want to share, and the title simply would just be this: When a War Horse Gets a Fresh Wind. And I believe it's the right message for this room tonight. Because as I look around the room, we have a room full of war horses or aspiring war horses. I think of the story from Larry as we've been watching this saga from a distance. You know, if COVID happened and we opened, Brian just decided he'd tell everybody they were totally willing to risk me being thrown into jail. But hearing that the governor has now turned it over and they've reinstated everything. Yeah. I just about ran around the room when you shared that. That is awesome. And I hope it was being recorded. There you go, Governor Newsom. Take that. I'll just repeat that for you. Amen. Fighting the cancer. You're a war horse. You see, a war horse is a person who has experienced the battlefield and continues to fight. Do I have any war horses in the room?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
A war horse is one who doesn't back down when the arrows begin to fly, The swords begin to clash, the shields begin to shatter, because the war horse is more concerned and consumed with the nudge of its rider than it is the noise that is running around, that it is running right in the middle of. War horse is one who refuses to back down. Hebrews, the author of Hebrews said it this way, we are not of those who draw back.
Right.
Do I have any war horses in the room?
Yeah.
I think of Pastor Ed fighting through the long COVID symptoms, and here you are, you continue to fight, you refuse to back down. I just look around and see so many stories. Our 15th year here at Cannon Beach, watching people who, when COVID hit and the craziness happened, you continue to get up, you continue to march forward because you're a war horse. I'm not shaken by what I see. We're going to land in the book of Joshua this evening. But I want to jump off from this statement. When Jeremiah, the prophet, was frustrated at what he saw happening in the culture and in the day, he began to ask God some questions. He said, in fact, he did it very, very, you know, politely and tactfully. He said, God, I appreciate that you have allowed me to come and ask you questions. Aren't you glad God lets us ask questions? And he said, I don't understand, in Jeremiah chapter 12, why is it that the wicked seem to prosper? Have you asked that question lately? How in the world are people getting away with this kind of garbage, God? Why is it that mothers who go to a school board meeting and say, I don't want my kids shown pornography when they're in grade school, get called and labeled a terrorist and escorted out? Why do the wicked seem to prosper, God? I don't know, Craig remembers that meeting when we were in with the local ministers. And I had just found out a few minutes earlier the leadership team of what's called B1 Umpqua, it's all the local pastors thing. And Craig and I are sitting in the room, there's 9 of us. And I had just received a copy of the packet because the state of Oregon had come in to teach the sex education training to the junior high. And I was hot because I began to read what had been distributed. And I was proud of our principal there at the middle school. When he heard about it, he ran down and he confiscated as much of it as he could get a hold of. But it was too late. Stuff was already out. And I came in and being young and not necessarily knowing the politics in the room, the leader asked, he said, you know, does anybody have anything that they want to pray for before we begin our meeting? And I slapped that thing on the table and I said, I need to know how I should respond to this. And there was anger in the room. And yet, 3 out of the 9 were more concerned with not wanting to offend anybody, not wanting to cause problems. The meeting was over, and Craig sent me a text message. He said, I thought you were going to walk out of the room. And I said, well, I was waiting for you. You're the superintendent. I'm having a problem. War horses don't run from a war. I found it interesting that 1 year later, all 3 of those who did not want to stir up any issues were out of ministry in Douglas County.
That's right.
But those who were willing to go to war are still serving and still serving strong. And in the middle of this rant where Jeremiah is asking God questions, chapter 12, verse 5, God turns around and begins to ask Jeremiah a couple of questions. He said, if you're wearied with the footmen, how will you contend with the horses? One man was talking about this, and in that day, when one of the leaders wanted to go to war with another leader, they wouldn't send in the cavalry right away. They would send in the footmen. Not because they were such great warriors, but they wanted to send a whole bunch of footmen in to wear out and weaken the enemy, pick off those that they could, And then when the enemy began to so show signs of being weakened and broken down, they would send in the horsemen. And when they sent the horsemen in, they would slaughter the enemy because they had determined and weeded out, so to speak. You see, the footmen get weeded out when the war horses show up. Amen? Amen. We've got war horses in the room. You survived COVID. You survived the awakening and keep on punching. I want to tell you tonight, God has a fresh wind for his war horses. And God then asked a second question, same topic. He asked him, he said, if you got wearied in the land of peace, what will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? A good Jewish prophet like Jeremiah was, he would instantly begin thinking about the Jordan, which is where we go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. See, Joshua is a book written by a war horse for some war horses. Joshua is not a book that is for wimps. Amen? I mean, it is a tempestuous book. It's a book that is, you know, really it is a book for a remnant people who have remained faithful to God even in a desert. It's a book designed for you and I, because when the desert couldn't take out Joshua and Joshua got a second wind, a second chance at the Jordan, he wasn't going to miss it. It's a book of disruption and discomfort. I thought about it as a book written from the hallway. One pastor, he said it this way, God sometimes closes one door and opens another door, but sometimes it's hell in the hallway. I want to tell you, the door is beginning to open. Are you excited about the wind of revival that you're seeing?
Yeah.
Joshua chapter 1, the second verse, and then we're going to jump down. Moses, my servant, is dead. God talking here. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. As I began to pray, the Holy Spirit spoke this word to me. He said, prepare yourself, Grace International, because we are at a proverbial Jordan River. We have been given an opportunity. And at the Jordan River, I want you to notice what God tells Joshua. The first thing he tells him is, he says, prepare provisions. You know how crazy that was for a people that had not had to prepare anything for 40 years? For 40 years, they have gone out in the morning, they picked up manna to live on that day. They did not have to cook manna. I mean, this is even better than microwaves. Right? You walk out, you pick it up, you eat it. Tomorrow, you walk out, you pick it up, you eat it. For 40 years, they have not had to prepare anything. And yet now God tells them, hey, if you are going to cross into the land that I want to give you, you want to step into the promises of God, all across this room, there are dreams, there are visions, there are things that have yet to be fulfilled. There are things that you know God wants to do in you and through you, and yet maybe we haven't seen it. How do I know we haven't seen it? You're still breathing. There's something driving you, or you would not be in this room, unless you're like Craig, retire and say, I'm done. There's something in us that says there is more. And God begins to speak to Joshua, if you want to walk into the promises, prepare provisions. You're going to have to do something that you've never done in 40 years, Joshua. If you want to go in. And I began looking at this. Prepare provisions. When God disrupts your life, and you have to do something you've never done before, you're on the verge of stepping into the next level of God's promise, provision, and blessing.
Good.
When you're faced with a windstorm, you know, eagles do that. What do? They use the wind to climb to a new height.
Yes.
This thing, I heard a story about this guy. He's been on a vacation. I don't think it's Fred Case, and they're in Hawaii right now. But his man and his wife, they came home from vacation in Hawaii, and they were sound asleep, and they were pouring down rain. Middle of the night, they got a knock on the door. Man goes down, opens the door, and it's a drunk at the door. And he says, "Can I help you?" He says, "Yeah, can you give me a push?" And the guy says, "No, I'm not giving you a push." Shuts the door, locks the door, and goes back to bed. He should have listened to his wife. Because he walks up there, his wife says, "Honey, did you help the man?" He says, "No, I didn't help the man." "But honey, don't you remember somebody helped us? When we were in distress, when we were stuck, we were in Hawaii on vacation, had a flat tire, somebody stopped, helped us, and you know, you should go and do the same." "Fine," he says. He goes, he puts on his jacket. Craig had prayed for him too. Goes out into the rain, he hollers out, "Hey, are you still there?" "Yes." "Do you still need a push?" "Yes." "Where are you?" "I'm on the swing." Have you ever had a disruption to your plan and your pattern that was really an opportunity to help somebody? I'm walking out of Starbucks a while back, and I hear this guy that says, "Hey!" And I really didn't want to stop. Right? So I just keep on going. You know, there's nobody else in there, and I grab my phone. You know what I mean? I got a plan. I got a pattern. I don't want to do anything. And he says, "Hey, you got a dollar?" And I'm just like, and you just hear that tug. You ever had that tug? So I stop. I look over, and the guy says, "Can I trade you $3 for a dollar?" I don't know what level of sobriety this young man was at. I walked over to him and I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you a dollar if I can pray for you." Not much. Just begin to speak to the man. He says, "You know, I haven't been at church in a long time. I need to get back." Somebody say divine disruption.
Yeah,
divine disruption. I'm walking in one day when we're pastoring in Myrtle Point. God's been touching the youth. I see a young man that I have in class. I said, "Skyler, what are you doing?" "Oh, nothing." I said, "You want to go? We're taking a group of kids over to a Jake Hamilton concert." "Who's Jake Hamilton?" "You'll like it." "Okay." Jumps in the van. We take him over to Jake Hamilton concert. He gives his life to the Lord. What happens if we take a few minutes to disrupt some lives? Are we open to the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit enough to disrupt life? See, are you prepared for disruption? It's a story that I heard recently about a golfer. Maybe you've heard of Tiger Woods. And back when Tiger was coming up, he was, you know, soaring in the amateur ranks. And while he was in the amateur ranks, there was this old veteran that saw him golfing, and he said, "Hey, you're really good. You got a lot of natural skills." And he says, "You know, you're going to be good. But if you'll do this," and he gave him a couple of things on his mechanics on his golf swing. He said, "If you'll do this, you will be able to hit the ball farther than anybody else." ever has, okay? I want to draw this. Can you handle a drawing?
Sure.
Perfect. I am not artistic. Can you handle a drawing? Okay. Time. I'm going to call this influence. Okay? I know, you got it.
I want to draw it.
Not bad. At least that one is better. This would be the picture of a life cycle of just about anything. We're born, we grow, we develop, and at some point there begins to be a decline, right? Same thing, this is a typical life of any business. This is a typical life of any church. This is a typical life of just about anything. You could put influence, you could put fruit, you could put productivity, you could put anything you wanted to do. And at some point, this is where we all find ourselves in ministry. Unless God begins to ask us a question, put the next one up there, that says, would you let me take you here? See, that man identified something in Tiger Woods. He said, look, you will be able to be this good. You'll be a good professional. But if you'll tweak a few things, you'll go from where you are to a whole new level. And so he began to practice this. And guess what? The first thing that happened was he didn't get better. Click the next one up there for me. Thank you. He actually got worse. Have you ever had God lead you to do something and instead of immediate success, it actually was problem?
Yeah. Every time.
And yet Tiger Woods stuck with it. And Tiger Woods became one of the greatest golfers that this planet has ever seen. Because he was willing to ask the question, God, do I need to disrupt what I've been doing to go to a new level? COVID for me, the COVID season, you know what I mean? I didn't feel like I was in a rut. I was talking to Calvin. I don't know where he went. We were talking a little bit. The Holy Spirit led us to do something, and we started doing a daily broadcast. Now, has anybody ever done a daily broadcast? Brian has helped me out, yes. So we're doing two services Sunday, service Wednesday night, and we're broadcasting every day. I was preaching 11 times a week. That's a lot of content. And I began asking the Lord, Holy Spirit, is this crazy? Are you really wanting me to do this?
Listen to your wife.
Craig hadn't prayed that yet. He was 4 years behind schedule. I don't know. The Holy Spirit began talking to me. He said, yes, what are you doing? He said, I'm increasing your capacity. Now, I used to think that, you know, you had to spend 30 hours, you know, and all this study and deep research and deep at all these different things. And I began to realize that if I would prepare myself, the Holy Spirit wanted to bring a fresh wind every time I stepped in front to communicate with people.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how many times that you'd be coming in, broadcast starts at 9, and it's 8:55 saying, God, do you want me to do this today? Yeah. Okay, what do you want me to do, God? And he says, do this. And you know how it is? Instantly it would come. God wanted to do something different. He began stirring in us. We began doing some things different. We began completely revamping the tech stuff in 2019. And when COVID happened, we were all prepared to be able to stay connected with those who either couldn't be or were so terrified by the news cycle they couldn't be there. When 2020, I was just thinking through this, a bunch of the staff that's here, we began building out our staff. Before we had necessarily the need for it, God began saying, I want you to start looking and bringing these people. What was he doing? He was saying, prepare right now for what I want you to do, for where I need you to be. Last year in Cannon Beach, we came out of Cannon Beach doing this, that God was talking to us about revamping our worship team. Okay? Now, when worship is something you're doing good, you don't really want to touch that, right?
Right.
Okay, but he began talking to us about revamping our worship team. 1 year later, we have now three, it's actually going to four teams this month. We have over 40 people involved. It's doubled the size, the capacity, what we can do. Why? Because God began to ask this question, what could I have you do that you've never done before? Prepare provision. Let me begin to think about this. Prepare provision. Break that word down, provision. God says, I want to begin to let you see something, prefix pro, before you are there. I want you to begin to see what it's like before you are there. He sent the spies to go in and walk through that land. Remember, they ended up at Jericho, go in ahead of that. Why? I want you to begin to walk through that land before him. I would challenge you to begin to spend time in prayer. God, where are you taking me? Where are you taking us? I tell our staff, I want us to prepare to be able to minister and have twice as much influence as we do right now. So when we have 40 kids in children's church, we need to be prepared to hold 80. When we have an altar with 40 people here, we need to be able to facilitate 80. Right? We need to be thinking beyond that. And that actually stemmed from in the Dalles when God challenged me in 2021. We were in the Dalles and God said, what can I do with the tithe of your town? I began to look at it. It's like there's 8,341 people in Sutherland. That means that'd be 835 people. Because you can't do 0.1 person. Okay? 835 people in the service. We began building towards that. What do we need to do in order to? I had Pastor Wes join with us, and we did our first ever, soul winning school. We began to train our people how to go door to door and knock it. We began going out and doing that. Our church is now we're in a phase where, we're actually in a building project right now because we're beginning to run out of room. Why? God is beginning to prepare. What are you looking for? Where am I taking you? Do you see that? Or are we like a footman who is so consumed with what I see down here? Or are we like a war horse that is tuned in to the nudge of the Holy Spirit for where he wants to take you? Where does God want to take you? Prepare provision. We began doing some things. We built, and by the way, I encourage you to explore this. We had some people from our church that created a PAC, Political Action Committee. Okay, they joined together. It's not a church thing, but there's people in our church who were joined together with some of the other local churches. We found out in the state of Oregon that every taxpayer that puts $50 into a PAC, you get a check of, put a little check on your taxes when you submit it, and the state of Oregon will write you a $50 check back to you. You get a refund if you put $50 into a PAC. So why doesn't our church create a PAC? And we decide that who we're going to put in on the school board, because the basic numbers are for $1,000 of advertising, we can basically put anybody into a school board seat. And the state of Oregon pays for it when 20 of us put $50 into this thing. What are we trying to do? Expand our influence. We're doing something we've never done before. Amen? Prepare. Joshua chapter 3. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, the priests buried the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as for those who bore the Ark, came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Remember how God asked Jeremiah, what will you do when you come to the floodplains of the Jordan? And when God brought the children of Israel up to the Jordan River, it was overflowing all of its banks. And God said, when the priests step into the water, he would part. You see, war horses aren't afraid to wade into the water before it parts.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm on a plane. Jeff and I. We're flying down to Oceanside. Last time convention was at Oceanside. And I sit down to play, and I am not a small guy, you can tell that, and I have the middle seat. And there's this real trendy, I'm guessing about 50-year-old lady, business type, and she's sitting there, she lets me sit down, so I sit down, and not like this. You're kind of looking at everybody walking, hoping that, this seat remains empty. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? And I see this young lady, and she comes walking in, and she looks over my seat, and I was like, this is the one, okay, yeah. And She says, I'm supposed to be over there. I said, would you like the middle? I can move over. She goes, no. I have to have the window seat. I get motion sickness. If I can't look outside when the plane begins to turn, I'll vomit. Sounds wonderful. So I'm sitting in the plane. Plane begins to taxi out to the runway. And I begin to just ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, we got 2 hours. What do you want to do on this flight? And I look at it, and this young lady next to me pulls out this Jim Cimbala book. I'd never read any Jim Cimbala books at the time, but I knew the name. And so I just said, oh, you have Jim Cimbala books. She goes, yeah, you know him. Turns out she goes to this Baptist college that doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And she's getting ready to go to an orphanage in Africa. And she's a cessationist. And I begin thinking, this is going to be fun. And so we talk a little bit, and Trendy Lady was an accountant down in San Diego, and we're talking a little bit, and I just began feeling the Holy Spirit talking about this young lady. She's got a gift, a prophetic gift where she hears from God, and she's never been given permission to hear from God. And I don't want to mess things up, because I'm only going to see her for about an hour, you know what I mean? And so we began talking. And so I turned over and I asked the lady on the left, I said, hey, I'm a pastor. I said, is there anything that we could pray for you about? And she kind of, oh, yeah, I guess so, maybe. And I turned over and said, can I pray for you? And she goes, well, sure. So I began praying, and God shows me a couple of things we're talking about. And we turned to the accountant lady, and I said, now you're going to pray for her. And she said, I am? I said, yeah, you pray for her. Fresh wind. And so she starts praying. She's praying. It's a good prayer. Nothing wrong with it. But it's everything you would think about praying up here. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, there's something else in you that you know, it's like intuition. You know what I mean? You just have this thing to pray. And she says, God, I pray that this young man, her son, that you get him out of the drug world and blah, blah, everything. She had never said anything about the son being in the drug world. And she was done, and I looked at the account lady. I said, was that accurate? She said, yeah. How did you know that? She goes, I have no idea. So then it gets better. I turned to the account lady. I said, well, can I pray for you? She said, yeah. And I just closed my eyes, and I said, Jesus. And I kid you not, you can't make this up. She was sitting here, Jesus. Oh, it's getting hot. It's getting hot in here. Now I'm thinking, what do you do with this, I said, okay, sometimes, the Holy Spirit moves on people and they, experience it in a unique way. Everything's okay. I don't want to. She goes, oh, okay. You mean it's like holy menopause? Jeff's sitting behind me. Am I telling the truth? She had an experience. I got to tell her about Matt Schlesinger's church because she lived just down the road from Grace down in Oceanside. Yes. Wow. What happens? Are we prepared for the wind of the Holy Spirit? And when he comes, are we ready to begin to wade out into it? Are we getting ready to begin to wade into the water before we see the waters part? I loved it. Last year, and I don't know if you guys can plan this, Larry, but a convention and prayer meeting last year, well, they just threw the business meeting out the window. Anybody else excited when the business meeting just got thrown out the window? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit was just so strong in the room. What was that about? Wade into the water? Wade into the water? A couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we finished worship, I think it's 3 Wednesdays ago, is that right? And I just looked at James and I said, hey James, sing just a little bit of that song, You Are Holy. And he began to sing the chorus, and the presence of the Holy Spirit hit that place so strong. Throw the sermon out, we went an hour and 15 minutes, nobody wanted to leave. 6 people just stood up, no invitation, nothing. They just stood up weeping, giving their heart to the Lord in the room. People are getting touched. Sunday morning, Friday, in fact, I should back up, Friday night then, it breaks out in the Friday night prayer meeting. We had 75 people there. Nobody wanted to leave. It's 2 hours long. God's just rocking people the world. Sunday morning happens again, both services. And there's a group over here in the front. They're So my daughters, there's a few other kids up there, they begin praying one for another. They're mimicking what they're seeing happening. Yeah. And so I'm just thinking, you know, be super spirit, you know. So they're just mimicking that. That's nice. At least they're mimicking this rather than what they see in the world. That's a good thing. Service, same thing. Worship, prayer, Holy Spirit, just ministering to people. My daughter comes over at the end and she says, "We got a testimony." Again, I'm thinking, I'm mimicking. A young girl in September had cut her finger. I didn't know any of this. But she had no ability to bend her finger this way. She could only bend it at that knuckle since September, right? Praying every night with mom. Am I ever going to get my finger able to move back? I think she's 10 years old. Is that right?
Mom.
And mom just said, "Be patient. We're going to trust God. Just be patient. We're going to trust God. Just be patient. We're going to trust God." They're praying at home one night. She got to where she could bend it about like this. And she said, "Is that all God can do?" The kids are praying one for another. And she tells me, she goes, "I can bend my finger again. I can bend my finger again." See, the kids are a lot better at wading in the water than we are. Yeah. Services continue to move. Why? Because God is trying to take us from where we are. And I believe the war horses are in the room. We're willing to prepare ahead of time and begin to wade into the water. I hope you're not expecting to be wowed by grief, you know, and all that kind of stuff tonight, because God is going to do an impartation.
Hallelujah.
Okay? There is a fresh wind. God wants to stir inside of us that He wants to take us to a new level of intimacy. And that's going to look different for sure. You see, a war horse isn't afraid, by the way, here. They're in it to win it. Yeah. Winning it for me and winning it for you is not going to look the same. We all have a different role. We've got a different assignment. We're in a different place. The war horses are in it to win it. They count the cost ahead of time. And they begin to move forward. I visited Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. I got invited to go there with Tony Perkins and the Family Research Counselors, so gathering pastors. And it was amazing because the same things that we're doing within Grace, the same kind of things that we're seeing are happening in different organizations. 3 weeks later, we were in Portland with another group at this other church, and Lou Engel was there, a bunch of they're crazy, Pentecostal charismatics. We're okay. And pray and ask enough around. They're talking about doing the exact same things that I heard in Tony Perkins and I've been seeing happening within Grace. And none of us know it. I went over and I asked the person, I couldn't believe it. I said, "You ever heard of Family Research Council and Tony Perkins?" They said, "I don't think so." I said, "Well, let me tell you about what they're doing." God is doing all of this stuff, and it's happening everywhere. Within war horses that are willing to go somewhere you've never been, to catch the wind of the Spirit, to step into the water before you see it part. Can we just pray tonight?
Yes.
I feel like I got a bunch of notes here. I don't even want to go into any of it. Because I sense the Holy Spirit just saying this. He's brought you to the Jordan. Every one of us is out of the Jordan. See, the Jordan was where you decided, I'm either going to be a war horse, or I'm going to go back. Joshua and Caleb stood at the Jordan River 40 years earlier. And they missed out on that chance because of somebody else's stupidity. Have you ever lost a dream because of somebody else's stupidity?
My mind.
But yet, they came back to that same Jordan River with a second wind. And I felt like God told me to sell some of you, and I don't mean to throw your age in your face, but some that are not 40 years old. I asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, "With some of the seasoned older ones, he wants you to dream again. It's time to dream again. It's time to believe that God can transform your city.
Amen.
And turn things around. It's time for us to believe that God can actually take the communist state of Oregon and flip it around. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to bring a fresh wind. James, will you come up and just... We asked James to come up and begin to sing this as we begin to pray.